Podcast. I'm Pat Berger, owner of Kaiser Tiger and Patty Longs, and with me is my co-host Chris Bruce White, who the owner of the Chicagoland Beer Tours. I say Chris Bruce White because he goes by two names. I know him as Chris.
Yeah, my college nickname, my beer nickname is Bruce. I always tell people I don't know who I am anymore.
This is a beer podcast. We're gonna have to call you Bruce.
Okay. Yeah,
I
think
so. That's your beer nickname.
Yeah, Bruce. It's beer. Bruce kind of goes together.
It's Bruce then. I will try my best, Chris. Okay. So with us is a very special guest, and we're very, very happy and proud to have him here. He forget Abe Froman. He doesn't exist. He is not the Sausage King of Chicago. And despite me, I think I might have proclaimed myself as the Sausage King of Chicago on a Food Network show. It's lies, all lies. We have the true Sausage King of Chicago with us, Doug Sohn from Hot Dougs. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Absolutely.
Actually, a plate of sausage and French fries were just delivered and a whole bunch of beer in front of me. It's my pleasure.
We aim to please. What else
Thank
do you,
you
serve the Sausage King?
Yeah. People always get nervous. Are you upset when people give you sausage? Like, no. I still like, dude. You think I closed the restaurant, now I no longer like it? Like, no, this is awesome.
Exactly. I'm the same way with beer.
I would imagine.
Yeah. And absolutely. Sausage. And bacon. Yeah,
sure.
Pretty much anything that you can consume.
Yep. I might be with you on that one.
So, we all know the famous Hot Dougs hot dog stand. Sadly, no longer with us, but now you are in the bleachers at Wrigley Field.
I am. We have a small stand right behind the center field scoreboard on the right field side, so I had to learn to chant left field sucks again. It was great. I mean, it was like about 3 weeks after I closed the restaurant, I got an email from the Cubs. And my thought was, that of course the Al Pacino, you try to get out and they suck you back in.
Yeah.
And I couldn't imagine any other entity that could have persuaded me besides the Chicago Cubs. Damn it.
Your fandom goes way back, huh?
Yeah, since a kid. Let this be a cautionary tale. Yeah, I mean, there's, it was like baseball was sort of the bond with my grandfather, where it really started, and as a kid, and baseball cards, and at that time, and Cubs fan because I was on the north side of Chicago, and this gets thrust upon you. I don't think you have choices, on this where you were born and where you grew up, and it was in Chicago, so
you
I'm a Cubs fan.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
Right.
As most people know, I did grow up in St. Louis. I am a Cardinal fan.
And
Danny Bird and I bear those 11 World Series championships. But let's not talk about that. I do have three children, and I'm raising them a half block off of Addison on the north side of Chicago, and I did not force my winning ways on them. They are Cub fans, and I didn't want them to be that kid in school who, was being ostracized by his friends because he doesn't cheer for the hometown team. Plus, it is their hometown, Chicago.
And it's their hometown.
It's their hometown team, and it's, they didn't grow up in St. Louis. They're not from St. Louis. They're Chicago kids, and I didn't have to, I certainly didn't force the Cub thing on them. It simply happened, and I did not force the Cardinal thing on them. My family is not happy with me about that, I just felt that, I don't know.
These things have to be organic.
They do.
And on behalf of, I will say it, Cubs fans who proclaim they hate the Cardinals, it's pure jealousy. It is. It is. They are a remarkable team. I don't know how they do it, but every year it's their Cy Young pitcher, blows out his elbow in April. They bring up some guy you've never heard of from AA, and he goes 19-3. I don't know how they do it every single year, but they are it's a remarkable
team. Unfortunately,
you
guys have figured out how to do it. It's the farm system.
Take their players.
Yeah.
Oh, Lackey and Hayward. We'll take them. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, but it is.
Turned out you could have Hayward.
Watch it, my friend. That's
true. He could blow up any time.
He's starting to. He looked good last night.
He already, he instantly gave you way more defense.
Oh, my gosh. A total difference. And my argument with him is, when people, the detractors, Well, let's say he was making $1 million a year. Would you be upset? Not at all.
No.
Because the defense is like, and well, it's not your money. So what do you care how much he makes?
That was always my problem with the hatred of Alfonso. You know,
precisely.
His only crime was being paid too much by the Cubs.
Precisely. The problem with all that was there was the only guy they signed.
Fielding, but he was a terrible fielder before you signed him.
Precisely, right. Exactly. And he was just one of those weird streaky hitters. When he was on, best hitter in baseball. And then when he wasn't, he was
and
horrible.
And he was the best hitter on the Cubs for a couple of those seasons.
For a long, long time. Yeah. That was my problem with the Cubs those years. They'd spend the $150 million on Alfonso Soriano and then $9 on everybody else. It's like, you can't, you know, win that way. As they would prove every single year.
Well, believe it or not, this is not a baseball podcast.
Wait, what?
To tell at this point.
I do have one other question. You always have named sausages after Cubs.
Absolutely.
Do you have like a favorite sausage Cub combination? Like a favorite one that has come up?
The actual combination, I don't think so. Okay. It was always just I needed a name for it. So I was like, well, we're going to pick all obscure ex-Cubs. Yeah. And just the ones that I love, you know, would love, you know, when I was growing up, like really in the prime years. And so if I could name every sausage the Rick Rushel, I would. But apparently we have to differentiate every so often.
Gotcha. Awesome. So let's try to talk about beer. Now, sure. I thought it was be appropriate to sort of talk about my love of beer at the ballpark and the fact that while I drink tons and tons of craft beer, it's my job and it's all I ever do. When I go to Wrigley Field, and that is the ballpark I go to. I've lived in Chicago 25 years. I consider it, you know, my home ballpark. Right. And I love it dearly. I hope these renovations keep the character. They seem to have.
I think so. I think it's actually better than it's ever.
I was there a couple weeks ago, and you know, it's just a special place. It is a wonderful place.
And I am on the record. I can't avoid it because of the internet. As say not being a Wrigley fan for a long, long time. It was literally falling apart.
It was.
And the sight, you know, there's some great sight lines, but you constantly have people walking in front of you. It's mostly my argument has been with the fans more than, go figure, dissing people. but it was getting in and out was always just kind
bathroom
of a
problems,
pain. Bathroom problems, horrible food for a long, long time.
Just taking the head first slide down the trough. I don't know if you've seen that YouTube clip.
Absolutely. And there was always some sort of fight. Someone would end up in the trough. But I think even like the classic example is the video boards look like they've always been there.
Yeah.
And the actual clarity and the picture themselves is I want one of those for my house. But it's in keeping with the look of the stadium, and I think they've done just a terrific job of making it better.
For sure. And it needed it. I mean, I used to lovingly call it a crumbling shithole.
Yeah.
With the most character of any ballpark I'd ever been to, and but it needed an upgrade. It really did.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, like any park, and the rate or whatever we're supposed to call it now too, when the team's winning and playing well, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
You stop caring about all of those things.
Exactly. I think that explains why we had that horrible Busch Stadium in St. Louis for so many years. It was a horrible stadium. So getting on, you know, I was at the ballpark a couple weeks ago. Cardinals were in town.
Sure.
We might have won the game I was at.
It's possible.
We split that series.
These things happen.
They happen. You can't win every single game. In fact, if you talk to Joe Maddon at all, Doug, if you have any sway, tell him I said that. You don't have to win every single game, okay? You can drop a couple.
That's what I say. I just want them to win every series.
You guys are fresh off another sweep, I believe.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you win every series, you get a little hardware at the end.
Exactly. But so I was there a couple weeks ago, and they do have some craft offerings now, I think some 312, if you call it craft. And I went for my Budweiser because, you know, when I'm at the ballpark, and I'm enjoying a hot dog, or a hot dog.
Thank you.
Which, you know.
Sure.
I would have to be in the bleachers for that. It's just nostalgia for me. It doesn't taste bad. Budweiser doesn't taste bad. You know, you hear a lot of craft beer people call it shitty beer. And I take umbrage with that. It's not shitty. It's, in fact, incredibly hard to make. Incredibly hard to make consistently. And much harder to make than these, what have become the stalwarts of craft beer, which are IPAs
right.
and Russian Imperial Stouts. The two easiest categories of beer to make because there's so much flavor in them that it hides all of the faults and it hides any, you know, there's no such thing as balance. There's no such thing as, carefully moderating the flavors in it. It's just in your face, pummeling you with flavor, which is great sometimes.
Sometimes.
But, you know, when I'm at the park, I don't want to think about beer. I want to think about baseball. And I want to also drink a beer every inning. And I can't do that with an IPA. I can do that with Budweiser, you know?
Especially, I can't think of anything worse on, like, a 90-degree day at Wrigley than, like, a Russian Imperial Stout.
Precisely. And it's
totally.
Right. And I can't, and I think some of it's a product of age as well, I can't do the IPAs, and especially when it is hot at the ballpark, because my internal body temperature goes up another 10 degrees, which is the last thing I need to happen. It's not just at the ballpark, but with the rise, really, in the last 10, 12 years of craft beers and all the, you know, and I think two breweries have opened up while we've been chit-chatting here in Chicago. It is, on a lot of menus now, and if I'm insulting you, I apologize, incredible number of these craft beers and wonderful beers, and there are times I would really like a Rolling Rock. And that, it's those beers that have disappeared. So it's either, you know, local IPAs. Yep.
Whoops, I dropped something.
Yeah,
we have to blame Anheuser-Busch for the disappearance of Rolling Rock. They did
really?
And then kind of shut it down, yeah.
Sons of bitches.
I know. Well, they've done some questionable things.
Yeah. But it's even those, so it seems to me that...
In defense of them just recently.
Yeah, exactly.
I only get split second
a lot. Precisely.
So
it's... Right, so too many of these things, so you have all these wonderful like IPAs and these craft beers, and then your other choice is Bud Light. Like, that's it. And it's like, I think there is a bit of a middle ground, and like Budweiser, and you're exactly right. At the ballpark, that's refreshing. At some point, it's nice to have one of those.
There
and
is
not,
a middle ground. You know,
right.
People talk about craft lager, and I am a big supporter of that, and we have no less than five lagers on tap at Kaiser Tiger all the time. That's our deal. But that is, you know, that's a different style of beer to me than light American rice and corn beer.
Exactly.
That corn syrupy sweetness or whatever.
Yeah, you can't make a beer that light without adding what they call an adjunct, which is corn or rice or whatever it is.
Okay.
And there's, you know, something wonderful about a beer that is very close to water. You know, it's like the old Coors Light joke. What does Coors Light and having sex in a canoe have in common?
I give up.
They're both fucking close to water.
Nice. Okay, so we can swear.
We can swear. Yes. This is iTunes.
Yeah. But yeah, right. But it is really true. There are times that, and some of it, I don't know if it's the hops or whatever it is for me, it's harder and harder to drink those heavy beers. And like I said, I appreciate the craft. I don't find it enjoyable, and I just don't. You know, I'd much rather have. I come to ordering, if it's on the menu, like a Heineken, because
right,
it just happens to be that's like the one beer that's still going to taste like beer and that I can drink two of.
Right.
And I won't feel just, you know, unpleasant
right.
after ever having one.
And if you're listening to this and you're really into beer, you know, the message I want to get out there is let's not make fun of somebody because they like a Miller Lite, you know? It's still not, you know... It's okay. It's what they like to drink, and those beers have a place and a reason they exist, and there's a reason that they dominate the market. They're very easy to drink, and guess what?
Right.
The majority of the world likes it.
Right.
So, you know.
And I think there's you have to take in the economic factor as well. I mean, you know, not
absolutely.
Everyone is dropping $10 bucks for a six-pack.
That's
it's like,
right.
You know, sometimes you just can't do it.
Or $10 for a 10-ounce pork. I'm like, oh, you know, like,
Precisely,
on,
right. I get it, but it's like at
we
some
might
point.
Be guilty of that.
Yeah. But some barrel aged, you know, whatever. But hey, they have their time and place.
Absolutely.
They do. And you know, if you want to craft beer at the ballpark and you want to sniff your beer instead of watching the baseball game, I think you deserve some ridicule. I'm throwing that out there.
Absolutely. But you're probably on your cell phone at the same time, so it's okay.
Instagramming, Snapchatting.
Precisely.
Selfie, exactly. Okay, yeah. Sniffing your beer at the
indeed.
Ballpark.
Indeed.
By the way, do you guys know how the American Light Lager started? This just popped in my head. So you might know this. 1890s in the United States, kind of like today, but to a greater extreme, we had a ton of breweries, and they were all competing. And the price of beer was extremely competitive. And so the breweries were looking to ways to cheapen the process of brewing beer, because malt barley is traditionally more expensive to grow and to kill and everything else. So then they started adding these adjuncts like corn and rice, which were less expensive. That's the rise of the American lager.
I like the history. This is all true.
Yeah.
This is why he's the best color man in the business.
Exactly right. For you youngsters
Bruce
out there.
That's right. Bruce brings the history.
And then, of course, Miller Lite, the Reisman Light Lager, was based on Meisterbrau here in Chicago. It was Meisterbrau came out with a light, but they, like a lot of, and there were some other brewers that did, but they came out and marketed it to women in like the 1950s. Is like a diet product.
Sure.
And then Miller bought the Meisterbrau brand and all their recipes and beers, and then for the first time marketed it to men. The John Madden, the football guys, great taste, less filling.
Exactly.
The rest is history. I love that.
Yes, and you know, now light beer is taking over the world, but you know, it is funny how these things come about.
Is that true? I mean, is it a huge market share?
Huge.
Light beers?
Yes. Okay. It's I'll be wrong, so I'm not going to say the exact number, but it is a huge market share.
It's like one where you look at the stat and you're like, that can't be right. And then you do, like, it's like one out of every three beers is X or something. I don't know. It's something pretty extreme, but I have
it's
to look
it
up.
That.
Yeah. Oh, man. By the way, I was shocked when, you know, Off Color Brewery here in Chicago, craft brewery, started a few years ago.
Great guys. Yeah, Dave and John, the brewmasters there, and making very esoteric, historical, sometimes extinct styles of beer, mostly from Europe. And they collaborated with Miller High Life.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, like to both of your points. Like, they brew, and what do they drink after they brew great craft beer sometimes? High Life, champagne and beers.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they became friends and brew with these guys.
People don't realize it, but, you know, there's an old joke that, and I think I said this on a different podcast last week, but winemakers, when they're off work, they drink beer, and beer makers, when they're off work, drink very, very light beer. You know, none of them, because you know they don't want to think about it anymore, and they, you know, want to drink a whole bunch of them and forget the day. And
sausage guys just eat more sausage.
That's right.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Is it lighter sausage?
just more.
But and Bud's got their new commercial out there where, you know, it's Bud and a burger. You know, nothing goes better. They need to change that to a Chicago style dog.
Exactly.
It really is. I mean, I don't know what other beer I would grab when having a fully dressed Chicago dog than a, you know, a Bud or a High Life, or, you know, it's just, it's perfect.
I agree. Or it's like, to me, like something, a beer like that or Coca-Cola. Those are your two choices.
Yeah, no doubt. Agreed. And cheap is another factor here, right?
Yeah.
So not everyone can afford these beers that... Kaiser Tigers known to sell. So, you know, when I was certainly when I was a young man, and even though I was very into craft beer, Schlitz was my go-to because I needed a 30-pack to get the job done, and I was on a college, you know, budget.
Exactly. I went to college in New York. It was Schaefer. Oh, it's the one beer to have when you're having more than one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but you know, you're in college and you're drinking, you know, you're buying pitchers, And certainly at that time, I think a Löwenbräu was a fancy beer at that time. But still, it was Schaefer or, you know, that was. And then if you really, like, the next step up was, like, I remember when Special Export came out, the Heinemann's.
Heilman.
One of them's the dessert. Like, Heinemann's, I think, is the coffee cakes, and then or the beer. What's the difference? But Special Export, that was fancy, because otherwise it was old style always at Wrigley Field.
Yep.
Until Budweiser moved in.
If you were feeling special, you got the Special X.
Special X, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, it was probably the exact same beer, is my guess. but you know, the difference, 50 cents at that time. Yeah, and those were, you know, so those are the beers that, you know, when I started drinking beer, are the ones that, you know, sort of formed my palate. And I still, there are times, like, if someone had a, you know, a six-pack of Stroh's, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. No complaints.
It's a perfect segue into my cheap self-promotion. We are going to celebrate cheap beer at Patty Long's Friday, October 21st. In our annual Malorton Cheap Beer Night.
Yes.
So every year we do this, I try to get the cheapest, craziest canned beer I can find. I'm trying to find a malt liquor to put on tap this year too.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
See if that happens. Yes. Yeah. And then the Malort crew comes out with the Malort.
I'm really trying to decide which is more dangerous, Malort or malt liquor. It's close.
Put them together and...
Yeah, that just, it's like...
Evening is done.
Right,
for.
It's like, that's like that your chemistry teacher warns you about mixing those two things because of the explosion, yeah.
For my dad in the audience who doesn't know what Malort is, it was invented Chicago liquor, 1920s Swedish dude. And I think the best description I've ever heard it described as is condom filled with gasoline in the flavor. But I actually kind of like it. I don't know what that says about me.
Condom filled with gasoline. I don't know what that tastes like. But
right, and nothing I don't think I'd really seek out either.
No.
You know, I can't imagine the circumstances where that would be, okay, I'll have that.
Yeah.
But I like Malort, too. Yeah. It has... It's like things like grappa and certain things.
Fernet.
There's like a, right, there's a, it has flavor. I mean, you may not like that flavor, but it tastes like something.
Yeah.
And I always enjoy that.
Look, you know, sometimes you're not drinking, you know, you're not having that drink to reward yourself.
Right.
Sometimes you're having that drink to punish yourself.
A little bit,
you
absolutely.
Know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, just having a shot of Malort and putting a couple more hairs on your chest.
Exactly. It makes everything else taste way better.
Way better.
Yeah.
Yes. Except everything tastes like Malort for about an hour.
Exactly.
It does hang.
No doubt about it.
It does linger.
And, right. Yeah. And then a couple hours later, why do I feel, the Malort. Yeah. Exactly. I always remember. That's right. That makes sense.
I always think that bartenders like Malort because when you bartend, you want to know what you want to feel what you're drinking because otherwise it's just too dangerous.
Like certain things like sneak up on you. It's like those. And I will say I'm a fan of the hard sodas like those the ginger ale. Although the root beers I don't really care for because they taste like root beer that's been like left out in the sun for too long and just tastes wrong. But like the ginger ale and some of the orange soda, I kind of like. But really dangerous because they're like, hey, it's soda, and they go down. You've knocked a couple back. It's like, oh, that was a mistake.
Totally.
But yeah, but Malort, you know, it's like, yeah, you're not having a lot of them.
No, it's almost a drink of moderation because
exactly.
If you really get drunk on Malort, I don't know what's going to give out first. Your liver or your taste buds? I think your taste buds.
Oh, I think there's a list of organs that might be somewhere in between there as well. Spleen might go. It's certainly possible. Exactly.
I have a feeling too, like the drunken or blackout on Malort is going to be rougher than other liquors. Like all of a sudden you're going to be punching puppies or something. You know, I don't know.
I think I think it's sort of akin to like, not that I would know, like Quaaludes versus weed. Yeah, you're going to get high from both, but the thing that you're really going to regret the next day is because of the Quaaludes, not the weed.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe they have these slogan contests. Malort only has one employee. His name is Sam Beckley. He's a wonderful, great guy, Renaissance man. I really got him by the balls because he bartends for me at Patty Long's, and he's also my tenant. I'm his landlord, too.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've got him. He's not going anywhere.
All is the more it, you want to drink.
Oh,
you know?
Well,
does he, yeah, right, does he pay rent in the mall? Is it sold? I know a little bit of history. Is it sold outside of Chicago?
They're in Milwaukee now. They opened the Milwaukee market. But outside of that, no. I don't. I mean, it's sold in Illinois.
Right.
But I believe Wisconsin is the only other market right now. And that's new. But anyway, he has these contests for slogans. And one of the winners one time was... when it's time to finally fight your dad.
Yeah, that nails it. That, exactly.
That
sounds exactly right. That, you know, and I think a way better marketing and selling slogan than gasoline in a condom. I think if you were trying to actually sell this stuff, that is like, that has an appeal.
Yeah. To wrap things up here.
It's okay. I can wait till we're done, and then we can eat it. It's up to you.
Let's eat some sausage.
All right.
Let's do that. We haven't even touched it. So we've got a little chorizo, Argentinian chorizo. I've got some beer. No, this is Polish. From Mikowski's sausage, I don't know. Nicole?
Absolutely.
She is the sausage queen of Chicago.
Indeed.
Yes, love her. Tequila jalapeno chicken sausage, 100%. Nice. That's the only one without a casing.
Case it right.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it all chicken.
Right.
This is our beer and bacon sausage. That's our number one seller. It has beer and bacon in it.
Perfect.
Makes sense, right?
Can't really go wrong there.
Right. And this is our newest one, a game sausage. It is wild boar.
Wild boar is awesome.
Done in kind of a Cajun style.
Nice. I almost, visiting in San Gimignano, Italy, in the Tuscany region, this little shop, and talking to the owner, and she made her own olive oil, parmesan, and wild boar salami. And the closest I've really come to asking someone to marry me, like, you know, instantaneously. Then she showed me the picture of her husband and child, and that really didn't deter me. By the way, I was still thinking about going for it, but it was extraordinary. Yeah, wild boar is wonderful.
It really is.
Yeah.
So we can dig in here. And how about you? What sausages are you serving at the next homestand?
What do we got right now? They're only, so we change it up every homestand. Right now there's the, let's see who we got, Turk Wendell, Bill Bonham, and Gene Kleins. And I can vaguely remember which one's which. It's the gyro sausage, the spicy atomic pork sausage, and the spicy Polish sausage as well. And so that'll change. There's only this and then one more homestand left after this before the playoffs.
Yes.
I know. We're down to 14 home games left before the playoffs, not that I'm counting or anything, because
I heard the magic number is down to.
I think it might be 14 as well. Yeah, because St. Louis lost last night. Yeah,
I noticed.
There's still though, the season ends now. I think they're in the wild card again.
If
they would play the Giants.
Yeah, so we have the second spot in the wild card.
Yeah,
I think we're two games behind the first spot in the wild card.
Yeah,
and
exactly
then we
got
a couple of teams nipping at us. Anything could happen.
Mets are starting to play a little bit better.
Yep.
Pittsburgh, until they ran into the Cubs, was playing better. There's a lot of baseball to be played.
And it's just like the Cardinals to sneak in that last playoff, that wild card spot, and then just, I'm not going to knock on wood right now.
I understand. But they would, if it ended today, they would play the Cubs in the first round.
Well, we'd have to play. We got the one game plan.
You'd have to, right.
We'd have
exactly.
To win that.
You'd have to beat.
It would not be in St. Louis. It would be in San Francisco.
Or LA. LA, maybe. That's still close. They're like a game and a half apart.
Okay.
San Francisco and LA. Yeah.
So
I do.
Baseball is exciting.
It is.
Paying attention.
Yeah. I had an argument with a friend, and I scoreboard watch. And I look at the standings and the box scores, and I do scoreboard watch. It's fun.
It's all you can really ask of your team is to still be paying attention in September.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know,
I have a close friend who's a Cincinnati Reds fan, and his season's done like May 1st.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's kind of like, oh, well, that was a good 4 weeks.
And, yeah. You know, we've all been through those seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps you more than me. Perhaps, no. You know, you don't even know who's playing. You don't know who's in first. You don't know who's going to the playoffs. You don't even care. You don't even want to know.
Precisely. And you hope you see some prospect they bring up. That's about it. And maybe a good trade or two.
Right.
Yeah. It goes on for a long time when your team's out that early.
It's
a long season.
You're just skipping the sports page.
And then you get the only advantage is you get the cheap tickets.
Exactly right.
Unloads.
Exactly right.
You can use that money on the cheap beer they serve at the stadium.
Precisely. And like went to a Sox game a week ago, and I was looking, you know, online for tickets, literally being sold for $2 that you could buy tickets. And it's like, I think you can actually go in for $7, like if you bought your ticket, you know, from the box office at the Sox Park.
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
And it is. And then it's pretty much sit where you want.
Yeah.
They don't seem to
Let's
really
not talk
mind.
About the Sox, because those people will find us and kill us.
It's possible. And when I explained
bad about them, their when fans it, will
I always retaliate. When people ask who are not from Chicago, well, what's the story with the Cubs and Sox? It's like Sox fans hate Cubs fans. Cubs fans don't know that there's another team in town. Is how that works.
That's about right. That's an ugly rivalry. You know, the Cardinal one is a nice one, and you know, having been going to Wrigley Field for 25 years, it's really good-natured ribbing between me and the fans around me. And
absolutely right.
Really fun stuff. I've been to crosstown classics that are ugly and
absolutely.
Fighting, and it's more like that Yankees Red Sox rivalry.
Exactly right. One of the sort of, you know, when the Cubs win it all this year. That's right. I said it. When they win it all this year. Exactly. We can just put 2005 to rest. I was thrilled they won it. It was fun. It was a great series. It was fun watching the team. I'm good with that. It'll be nice to just
we're
like,
not
okay.
Even bringing it up. Not
exactly.
Cool.
Great.
I was just going to say a couple things I wanted to give you a chance to, because I think it's really cool. You've done some of the pop-up for stuff, a lot of times benefiting charity.
Yes.
And do some other charitable work.
Exactly.
And I noticed, I think you're really involved with the Shriver Center.
Exactly, the Sergeant Shriver National Center on Poverty Law.
Yeah.
A friend of mine said, I would donate, but I only donate to charities that are 5 words or less. And I was like, all right, fair enough. Exactly. So there's the Taste for Change coming up October 6th. ShriverCenter.org, SergeantShriver.org, something like that. Sergeant Shriver, it might be PovertyLaw.org.
PovertyLaw.org.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And co-chairing with Josh and Christine from Honey Butter Fried Chicken.
Oh,
are
awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
And it's That's a great, spot. They do great stuff. They've been doing wonderful work in Illinois fighting, because of all the budget impasse, how many programs have, the funding has stopped, and they've gone to court to get that funding started up again. And you know, the people talk about the politics of it, and it's like, no, this is actually the people. It's not affecting me so much. It's affecting the people who need the services the most. And the Shriver Center does just a wonderful work on their behalf.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw it was a Savage One, which I think is a really cool event space.
Savage One is awesome.
Yeah, it's a great space, and it's 20.
Right around the corner from here.
Right, it's like 20 plus restaurants all doing small bites. And the thing I like about it. I understand the irony. There are no lines. Like, you know, it's not like you're going in there and have to wait a long time to get some food.
There is not.
It's like things are set up. There's plenty of room. You can work your way around.
But what if I want the food. Classic hot dog experience?
You can stand there.
I think
absolutely. I will let you stand there. Absolutely. And we'll try to put you in an area where it's either 120 degrees or -7. Your choice.
Okay.
We'll set up the environment that way. So that way, once you make you want the full experience, no problem.
That's great. So if you want to eat great food and also feel good about yourself, give some money for charity. Check
appreciate
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. Okay. What's going on with the beer tours, Chris? You got
beer tours just rocking and
down,
rolling. I'm still rocking and rolling. You know, we're gonna run all three tours. We have one downtown in the Loop, one in Lakeview Lincoln Park. Stopping at Patty Lunk's, the Pat runs among other places and do some beer and bacon, which is awesome.
and then Bucktown and Wicker Park as well. So we're going to run those all through Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, we will run Lakeview year-round. So, you know, you want to get out of the house. It's only a half-a-mile walk. Get your beer jackets on. Doesn't matter if there's a polar vortex or not, you know. Get some beer.
Absolutely.
It's good stuff.
People own hats. Yeah. Get out there.
It's exactly. Fine. Yeah. Exactly. It rarely snows in the pub. Rarely.
Yeah.
That's always my argument. Right. Yeah, it's not snowing in the restaurant.
It's been known to rain in Patty Long's, but it's never snowed in there. Well, fantastic. This was such a pleasure, Doug.
On this side of the table.
Thank you enough for coming out and having some sausage with us and talking
absolutely.
About
and beer.
Beer and baseball.
Exactly. And tell if you talk to Anheuser-Busch people, Rolling Rock. I'm a big fan. If they could bring that back, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, they don't listen to anything I say.
Damn sons
of bitches. I do occasionally talk to them, but they have not taken any of my advice. So.
All right. They can keep, you know, they can keep their Mickey's big mouth. That's fine. I don't know. Do they still make that?
Mickey's
know,
White? Yeah, I'm sure
do those barrels? My friend Don, my oldest, dearest friend who went to school in Wisconsin, his claim was that he loved those because you could throw the bottles down the street and they actually wouldn't break. I don't know why he found that out.
Well, they are shaped like little grenades. It's kind of...
Maybe that was it. It seemed to be the natural thing
to
throw them.
It's hard not to throw that bottle.
Exactly. But apparently, like, nah, they'll just bounce along. They actually don't break. So I don't know if this might be apocryphal.
Quality glass from folks at Mickey's, maybe. I don't know.
Could be urban legend, but, you know, I'm not going to call him a liar. At least not on, you know, on the
maybe
public airwaves.
Maybe one of our listeners will throw one down the street and write back to us, let us know if it exploded.
Perfect.
Awesome. Not that we encourage such things.
No. That's crazy talk. You should recycle.
Recycle that. That's right. Awesome. All right. Well, it's been another episode of Beer Pinions. Please reach out to us if you have any thoughts, criticisms, compliments.
Just compliments. That's all we're
Yeah, go for the compliments.
Compliments are best. Yeah. Mm. Criticisms go to Chris, and compliments go to Pat. Do we have an email, Stuart? Stuart, of course, thanks again for being behind the board here, or the computer.
The guy behind the guy behind the guy.
Yep. If you want to reach out to us, you can go to beeropinions.co.
Beeropinions.co, right? C-O.
You just couldn't afford the M, could you?
All right. It might have been taken.
You know?
Yeah, possible.
All right. Thanks again, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time on Beer Opinions. We won't see you. We won't even hear you. You'll hear us.
That even better.
Is that how podcasts work? I don't know. Yeah. Thanks again.
Yeah.
Yeah.